your bass line. It's got me feeling fine. It's filling up my mind.
Josh Abraham.
Yeah, g'day Josh. Greg Carrick from Yarra Valley FM 99.1. Thanks for being able to join us.
Great.
We know your great hit track from some years ago now, Addicted to Bass.
Yeah.
That went crazy all over the world. It was such a smash hit. Do you ever feel like revisiting that? Yeah. Do you try to resurrect it in different ways, or do you just leave it alone and leave it like it was?
Look, I could if I wanted to. I haven't talked to me about it over the years. I don't really want to. There was some great remixes done at the time when it came out in the UK, and on the odd occasion that I DJ, I would probably play the kind of a house music mix, which is really great.
Yeah.
But no, I don't need to.
Great track. I loved it when it came out. I still love it. But
yeah, thank you.
Going to talk more about your more current stuff. And I run a show called The Oz Indie Show. And when Cherry on Top was released last year, I grabbed it and played it. And yeah. I waited and waited for through the whole year. I was playing new stuff every week on the show. And I was waiting for another track to come out that I thought might beat it. But yeah, nothing seemed to top Cherry on Top. It was such a fantastic beat, and a lot of people loved it. I got a lot of requests for it. It's was picked up by other presenters here as one of their favourites and played a lot.
Blind.
So what was the story behind that one?
Look, I actually did that. You know, I'm with this label now called Laneway Music, who find relatively old codgers like me. I'm probably one of the youngest in this label. They're finding a lot of Aussie 80s, 70s and 80s bands who have, you know, come to a sort of stop in releasing music. And these guys are just music fans who... these fine bands they love who either their stuff isn't being released anymore or often they'll find back catalogue.
Yeah.
They help the band polish it up and release it. So they got in touch with me and I've been releasing a combination of very new stuff and then some older, when I say older, you know, a few years old kind of stuff. So this particular song is a group of stuff that I worked on 5 or 6 or 7 years ago,
yeah,
with a singer who unfortunately I can't name because of you know, she may or may not be in other contractual obligations. So we worked on a block of stuff. We were going to do an album together back then, and for various reasons it didn't happen. So I was thrilled when I was approached by Laneway Music, this record label, and they said, "Look, we love your stuff. Why don't we get you on the label? And what have you got?" And I showed them, you know, sort of lots of stuff I've got sort of accumulated on the shelf over the years,
yeah,
from sort of back then up until now. And they said, "Great, let's do it all." So we're sort of in this slow process of me re-looking at everything and finishing it and mixing it and whatever. And Cherry on Top was one of the ones that has gotten to that finished spot.
Yeah, well, it's well deserved. I think it's a fantastic track.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. What I'm pleased about is that, you know, even though it's a few years old, it doesn't feel like it's aged. You know, I made it to be really very edgy back then, and now as the edge has kind of moved as it does, it's not that edgy. It just sounds like good pop music now, which is quite good.
Yeah, and you worked on that one with the Quick Brown Fox.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
That's the sort of name we've come up with.
Yes, yeah.
So I don't have to...
use our real name.
Yeah, contractual issues.
Now, she's in Australia. Did you work with her right from the start on those tracks or bring her in afterwards?
Yes. Yeah, right from the start. It was quite a long project. We sort of worked together for about a year or more. Almost always I would start off... In fact, I'd say that song is one of the very few that we kind of started together.
Yeah.
Mostly I had, you know, some ideas or grooves or beats or whatever, and she'd listen and start writing over it or take it home and write a song over it, bring it back to the next session. This was quite rare in that we sort of discussed an idea and a concept for a song and grew the feeling and the groove, and I sort of started building the beats with her there. You know, we were sort of doing it from it, throwing the ideas, which was it's not something I often do. Usually with singers, I'll have either they'll say to me the kind of thing I want and I'll make it without them there, or start it without them there. Or more often, I've been just working on stuff and they'll hear and they'll go, "Oh, that's great, I've got nothing on that," sort of thing.
Now, you've got a latest release is Hardcore.
Yeah.
A great collection of tracks.
Yep.
And that's available now. I've got a few of those tracks here on the system to play.
Yeah,
and
great.
I like the title track. That's a good one.
Thank you.
did that one grow?
Those two are a bit similar in that they're both sort of four on the floor house music.
Yeah.
Quite a sort of simple, repetitive kind of bass, you know, sort of steady bass line, not a lot of chords kind of thing. So again, I think it was a similar process in that she, again, had an idea for a song and a feeling that she wanted to convey, and we sort of built the beat together.
Yeah.
I mean, the word that I came up with in this process was hick hop. So like hip hop, but if it was done more by Hicks,
yep,
playing guitar and bluesy guitar. so except that one is less hip hoppy, but again, it's still like house music, but with sort of dirty blues guitar in it.
Yeah.
And in fact, there's banjo in hardcore, so really very hick. It's kind of like redneck house, I guess. her obviously her lyrics tend to be pretty racy and suggestive and sexy.
Yeah.
We're sort of going, trying to express that through the music as well. Have a sort of pretty sexy, dirty beat.
You said before that the beat was fairly simple, and on Cherry on Top, it seems to be just the one riff played over and over.
Yeah, that's right.
It's that's absolutely...
Right. The idea is that it builds, I think they describe it as vertically rather than horizontally.
Yeah.
So the layers of sound and the energy and the drums and whatever build as time goes on.
Yeah.
Until there's, you know, sort of every instrument doing that riff by the end of it.
Yeah, another track on the hardcore album, I'm Not a Restaurant. I absolutely love that one, and I'm wondering who wrote the lyrics, because it's such a great take on a woman's side of a relationship.
Yeah. Look, she wrote all the lyrics.
Yeah.
I never wrote the lyrics. One of the working titles for the album was An Equal Measure of Disdain.
All right.
Which is, do we hold everyone, or particularly she holds everyone, in an equal measure of disdain. She's clearly very, not a chip on her shoulder, but pretty angry about a lot of things, got a lot to say.
Yep.
So yeah, she wrote all the songs.
Yeah.
that was one where I had a beat and she took it away and came back with this idea for a song. You know, I did mention to her, gee, all these songs seem very angry. And then the next time she turned up, she said, oh, look, I've written, you'll like this one, it's a love song. I said, oh, yeah, what's it called? And she went, oh, it's called I Will Fight You. Right. That's it. She said, no, no, but it's talking about if anyone threatens my family, I'll fight them. I said, well, that's kind of romantic. Yeah, it's sort of, there's a lot of attitude in those lyrics, but they're all very valid and funny as well, which sort of, you know, helps her get away with it, I think.
Yeah, I think Restaurant should become an anthem for women. That's a great
track. It's amazing. Yeah, it is great.
And then Lucky Son of a Gun. That's a good one too. A woman expressing how much she's worth.
There is a lot of sass and a lot of, it's not directly angry. I don't, they're not aggressive. They're not aggressive. They're just more almost not defensive isn't the right word, but if anything, it's defensive strength or resilient strength rather than pushing into someone else's space. It's more like drawing the line and defining your own space, kind of thing.
Yeah. So Hardcore is out. Is there new projects you're working on now, or are you taking a break?
No. Certainly churning away. You know, there's at least three other albums, other projects with various people from that era, sort of, you know, several years ago,
yeah,
which are being polished and finished. And in fact, there's a new song coming out in a few days. I can't give you an exact date because I just don't know. I think they told me, but I forgot what it was. And that's with a different singer. So that was a similar situation, a whole project with a different singer who sort of can't be named because of contractual reasons.
Yeah.
Quite a different style. These ones are much more emotional, personal exploration, I guess, is how you could describe it. Although there is one pretty funny, sarcastic one, but certainly the first one is just relationship stuff, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's out in a few days. And then there's a project I did with a couple of friends, another producer, a guy called Honey Smack, and a friend of mine, a friend of ours, a singer. And that project was called The Secret Lemonade Drinkers, and that's really silly, fun stuff, but also really great sort of techno beats in that. And then there's the modern stuff that I'm continuing to do. It's much more, I guess, techno-y, you know, more down the sort of instrumental dance music route. And that's all around work, of course.
Yeah, in reading your bio, you've done so much, especially with other artists and even overseas. And do you find that you have to knock back a lot of proposals and projects?
Only the ones that... what I say to people generally now is, I won't work with you, I'll work for you. In other words, I won't collaborate, I'll get paid.
Oh, yes.
I need to get paid on jobs now because, you know, you can collaborate when you're a young man and you got time to spare, but when you're a dad with a couple of kids and, you know, mortgages and all that sort of thing, you need to be paid for your work.
Yeah.
So certainly there's plenty of work. I work in a partnership now, in a music and sound effects house called Samplify, with one of the guys I was in a techno band with back in the 90s. So we do music for video games and the odd TV commercial and sort of marketing stuff, and, you know, music for money kind of thing. The music that I do for myself is just to sort of keep myself sane. That I'll certainly keep doing, but occasionally someone will say, "Hey, we should jam on something." I'm like, "No, we probably should."
It's good to have your talent recognised in cold hard cash.
That's right. Well, yeah, kids got to eat, you know.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time, Josh.
Oh, thank you so much for the interest.